Are there any body word? Let's hold someone's hand. Let's say this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we walk in the light by receiving light in your light. Revelation in your revelation. Wisdom in your wisdom. We receive accuracy, simplicity, and clarity in the doctrine of Christ. We behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2, we're looking at, is this spiritual growth? Is this spiritual growth? It's not a teaching for you to go and share with someone. It's a question you ask yourself. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. We looked at these words, that you may grow thereby, or you may grow in salvation. The word newborn babe is the word brephos. B-R-E-P-H-O-S is used for a baby. In Luke 1:41, used for Jesus, and 44, Jesus, John the Baptist. Luke 2:12 and 16, literally a baby. In Luke 8:15, and also Acts 7:19, talking about Egypt and the babies in Egypt, it's used for a state of being born or just born. Right. However, Paul uses it for Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's not physical. You can't say from a baby. It has to be from spiritual babyhood. You have known the Holy Scripture. Brephos. So the word baby can be used for the natural and also for the spiritual. And that's why we said there are some characteristics of natural infants that can be gleaned from a spiritual infant. And we're going to see a bit of that this morning into the afternoon. So Peter says, a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. But verse 1 had said, wherefore, laying aside. Now, when you say wherefore, that must be because of this. Because of what? Because of the gospel you have believed. 1 Peter 1:25. Because you are born again, 1 Peter 1:23, of corruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. So he says, because you are born again, and in the first service we said that there are many active words in the new covenant, in the epistles. One of them is this word, laying aside. It's the word apotitemi. A-P-O-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. You know, we used one earlier on katagio, the one Paul used in 1 Corinthians 13:11, which means to annul. This one says to cast it off. It's used for a garment, like to take away a garment. Acts 7:58, the way you remove a cloth. You do it yourself. You remove a cloth. In Matthew 14:3, the same thing. So literally, it's used for the way you remove your jacket. You know, you remove something. Alright? I remember one time I went to preach in a country very cold. And because I was used to removing my jacket whenever I was preaching, the churches that I attended earlier, I've observed, you know, we all follow examples. We'll see some in a moment. We all follow examples. How many of you knew that you just saw people kneel down, started kneeling down too as a Christian? You just did like this the same way. You know, we just follow examples. So somehow in my mind, I believe that if you are preaching to a point, whether it is hot or cold, you remove your suit. You know, just, I learned it from like three people that I saw do it consistently. And, you know, I remember Pastor Chris Oyakhilome then, who would do it every service. It was like, this is how you should preach. When you get to 15 minutes, remove your jacket. So if I was used to it, even though if your jacket is not fine, just remove it somehow. So I'm preaching, it's very cold, and I'd forgotten that it's very cold. That's how I removed my jacket. As I gave my jacket away, I started shivering right on the pulpit. So I said, oh, what can I do? I'm a preacher. So I said, I just looked for a scripture. Luke 24, 48. You shall be clothed with power. I said, that word clothed. And duo means to wear a jacket. Like my jacket now. So but I wasn't lying. I was preaching the word. So I just wore my jacket. I said, oh, Jesus. Thank God for the word. It'll be bad in my life. I say, Genesis 64. Hallelujah. Step out your hands towards me. Something like that. So, it literally means to remove a jacket. To take off. And it's used in the present tense continuous. Keep taking away. Keep removing. In other words, it will always come as a temptation. 1 Peter 2:1, therefore laying aside, or you can change the translation and say, keep laying aside all malice. There is no time in your Christian walk that this will not be a temptation. Keep laying aside all malice. Keep laying aside all guile. Keep laying aside all hypocrisies. Keep laying aside all envying and all evil speaking. It is a continual work. In Romans 13:12, Paul uses the same word, apotitemi. Romans 13:12. The night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Or let us be casting off the works of darkness. And let us be putting on the armor of light. Let us walk. So it's a continuous work. You keep casting it off. And that's something about believers. We always think that if you overcome a temptation, it means it won't come again. Even the Bible says that. Look at something. Let me show you Luke 4. It won't come again. So you feel that well? That's all to it. Luke 4, 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him forever. For a season. Actually, the Greek says for another opportunity. For another opportunity. So, the Christian must learn to be alert at all times. We must be alert. We must be sober. We must be vigilant. There's no break from walking in the Spirit. Though it's a holiday. It's a holiday. You went for a holiday and you think, well, let me just take time off spiritual things. No, don't do that. I remember one time I was traveling from one country to another and I was coming back to Nigeria and it was a Christmas period. Christmas period, that day I actually missed my flight. The brother that made me miss my flight came last week. Where is he? Is he in the service? And I missed my flight. And so I was coming back. It was a Christmas day. So, and I like to observe and think. And I felt, it's Christmas day. And all these guys are working. All of them. The pilot, security, everybody. There was no, at least in those countries that I passed through. When I came to Nigeria too, type and shadow, was good, seemed like it, close to it. But I began to think, that means there are some things that don't go on a holiday. There are some people don't put on holiday. There are some things that you can't take a break from. Even in life, we don't say, all the security men, all the police men are going to go on break. Bear with us. Huh? Say for now, you say all the doctors are on break because it's Christmas and everybody would not work. So try and be faithful. Try and be stay off sickness and disease and all that. You know, that can happen. Even if the president of a nation will go on a break, he will hand over to someone. So I said to myself, if things that are not eternal demand this kind of concentration, how much more our ministries and our spiritual walk? That was vital to me. And then I, the year before, was when there was a strike by the criminal elements in the north. It was Christmas period, and so the heat at that time, because they felt people were going to be vulnerable because they were going to let off their guards. In other words, there is no time to take a holiday and say, well, this is just a period I need to rest, I need to have a vacation, so you go out on that. It's a vacation for your body, no doubt, to rest it. But there is no vacation for your spiritual growth. You must continually put off the works of darkness. You know, I told you before, David saw Bathsheba in his relaxing moments. I mean, that was when he did it. He was in the cool of the day. He's trying to relax. And so you be careful of what you call, I'm trying to relax. And he's saying here, cast off the works of darkness. He uses the same word in Ephesians 4:22. He says, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to his deeds. Keep up. Verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Is it a present continuous instruction or past tense? Does it happen once and for all, or what you do all the time? Very good. The same thing he used, Colossians 3:8. Same thing. In Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight, or let us keep laying aside every weight. James 1:21, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. So again, is it once and for all or continual? Okay, good. So it's something you do all the time. Let's say every day. You don't outgrow these instructions. You don't get to, and there's this sense of security knowledge can do to you, that you begin to overlook or underestimate the power of instructions. Stay away, he says. Flee. You do that all the time. You do that all the time. So Peter is saying, if we're going to grow in salvation, we will grow with the instructions given to those who are saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul... Let's get back to that. So in the parable of the soil, let's just do a review. We said there are four soils, right? That Jesus said. The first soil, those who heard the word by the wayside. They never even knew what the gospel was anyway. Right? So they are just in church. Very faithful, very loyal, but they are not born again. There are those who just got excited, as it were, at the miracles of the gospel. At the glamour that they saw. And they're just excited, but they never believe. And for such people, he says, the moment temptation comes and persecution, they will be offended. And we said, the third set are those who believe the gospel. They are saved. The word is there. But then what does Jesus say? He says, the loss of this world, the pleasures of life, and then this deceitfulness of riches. Now, hold on. Jesus is not saying it is wrong to be rich. Neither is he saying don't have desires in life. No. But you see, the difference there is that those desires now crowded the word. I have people who choose friends based on their desires. There are people who choose churches. I like something someone said. I think it was, it's somewhere. He said, don't go to a church that is near your house. Go to the one that is near the Bible. That's quite a very good instruction. You know, we just say, I know folks, there was a guy like that. He kept complaining that the church he was attending, they were not inspiring his spiritual growth. He was a keyboardist of the church. So he said, I don't know. The man said, almost every service, he said, it's like if pastor gets around Christ in a year, it's once a year. He said, even Easter. So a friend now asked him, then why are you there? He said, I'm the one that sews the pastor's suit. And it's a big minister. And then other people, you know, of course, if somebody knows that, the person that sews pastor's suit, you like the person to sew yours for whatever reasons. But that just happens. So, of course, he's making money. Now, is it wrong to make money? No. But he has put making money above his spiritual growth. Now, this is even, he's even sincere about his own. Some of the guys will say, well, after a while, when they have dealt with their conscience well enough, they now say, well, church is not just about Christ, Christ, Christ. That one has, he has dealt with his conscience well. It's not just about Christ. It's not about Christ. Christ fed people with loaves and fish. He multiplied wine or water to wine, whatever. Jesus did it. Jesus cares for us. So it's not just every time say pray, pray, evangelism, pray, walk in the spirit. What about the body? That one has dealt with his conscience. He now builds a theology around his convenience. Hallelujah. He builds it around his convenience. What he wants. What he desires. Somebody was asking me, was it yesterday? Was it yesterday? When did Brazil play? Friday. Okay. I said, I told the fellow the scores. I said, Baba, did you prophesy? I said, according to my desire. You know? He said, yeah. He said, that's according to, I wanted Brazil to lose. Why? How can you ask me why? It's just what I want. That is what will satisfy me. It's not, you know, but you see, that's just how it is. That's what I wanted. That's all. I wanted Messi to be out of World Cup. That was what I wanted. It has nothing to do. It's just what I wanted. It's not a prayer point. It's just a desire. But just shortly after, whatever I sold, I ripped it. So, you know, you can have desires like that. But don't build your view of God selfishly around what you want. Don't do that. So there's, the guy just said, you know, I can't leave, you know, that's what my business is tied to it. So he has tied his service of the Lord to his pocket. Imagine if that kind of fellow has financial problems. He won't serve the Lord. Because it's about his pocket. So in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul gives us this kind of believers. He said, I couldn't speak to you. Remember, we looked at the two words in the first service. As unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. And we said the word carnal is the word sarkinos. Sarkinos. The flesh. In verse 3, he says, are you not carnal? Sarkikos. That is, your behavior is from the flesh. Then he says, and you walk, 1 Corinthians 3, 4, as mere men. You walk as mere men. You walk. The word walk here is a verb. Peripatao. P-R-I-P-A-T-O. Peripatio, sorry. You walk. You conduct yourself. Remember, we said spiritual growth is in your conduct. It's not in your preaching. It's in your conduct. It's in your conduct. So it's in your walk that you know if you are growing spiritually. We said salvation gives you new priorities. New priorities. Salvation changes the way you see things. The way you see people. That's salvation. If I'm growing in it, my priorities will change. Okay? Look at Galatians 5. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I'm alive in the Spirit. So look at Galatians 5. Pay attention here. Verse 16, I told you in the first service that I was going to explain this. If I didn't, I forgot. Now, in verse 22, he says, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you say the fruit of the Spirit, it is the word kapos. K-A-R-P-O-S. It means the result of planting. The result of planting. Result of planting. That is, if I plant something, this is what I'll get. So it's very odd to have said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. No. When you say, the fruit of the Spirit, it must reproduce the seed. So, it must reproduce what was planted. So, if it says the fruit of the Spirit, again, we have been taught here to read the Bible in paragraphs, not in verses. Look at verse chapter 5 again, verse 13. Let's take it together. We're going to read it together. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'll wait for you. Chapter 5, verse 13. Let's go. For brethren, to liberty. We are called to liberty. Go on. As an occasion to the flesh, but by what? But by what? So, love, what does love do? It serves others. By love, serve one another. So, say, don't use your liberty as an occasion to serve the flesh. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. I'm no longer a slave to fear. That means you can do anything. That's not what it means. So he says, look at the next verse. For all the law, we're taking it together, let's do it together. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. See that? So what is he discussing here? Let's see 15 together. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed one of another. What's he discussing? Our relationships with others, right? Come on. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not. So, when it says walk in the Spirit, is this just talking about love? Okay, look at the next verse. For the flesh lost, let's go together. For the flesh lost against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you will. Verse 18. If you be led of the Spirit, now, what did he say earlier on? Let's take it again. He says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy... Okay, so look at 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are this, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rebellion. This is amongst people. And such like, of which I tell you before, which I have told you, they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I told you what that means. These things don't have a part in the kingdom of God. That's what he meant. I've done that study for us before. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not love plus joy. Because what we have been discussing so far has been what? Come on. Okay, let's go for it. Let's look at verse 25. 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. 25, let's go together. If we live in the Spirit. Okay, now the word live means to exist in. Why do we exist in the Spirit? Now all you need to do is to read chapter 3. Where it says, we have received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Chapter 4, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Verse 5 and 6, crying Abba Father. That is the genesis of the word Spirit in the book of Galatians. What God gave to us, what we have received at the new birth, He's now telling us the fruit of it is what? The fruit is what? Okay, so if we live in the Spirit, do we live in the Spirit? Do we live in the Spirit? Why? Because we are born again. Let us what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. He changes the word here to the word stoicheo. Stoicheo. S-T-O-I-C-H-E-O. You know, we use peripatao, was what he used earlier when he says walk in the Spirit. 16. Why does he change it? Because the word stoicheo refers to a singular step. A singular step. It means to keep in step. It's like you want to go to a building. That's how I use the example I usually use. You want to go to a building and it's the fifth floor. There's some buildings like that, that the, maybe the chairman's office is the penthouse. And then they have different elevators, but there's just one elevator that goes to the chairman's office. And sometimes they are remote controlled by the chairman. So the only way you can get to the chairman is that elevator. So it's the step to him. Every time you want to go to him, this is the step. Every time you want to go to him, this is the step. So he says, walk in the Spirit or take this step in the Spirit. A particular step. This word, you will see it used in Acts 21:24. A singular action. Acts 21:24. Acts 21:24. You walk orderly. Orderly. Romans 4:12. The step of Abraham, which is faith. Romans 4:12. In this same book, Galatians 6:16. As many as walk according to this rule. This rule. This rule. Just one. In Philippians 3:16. Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, where also you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So the word stoicheo is used for a step. That step is love. In verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, Galatians 5, provoking one another, envying one another. Look at the next verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, okay? You which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, he's saying, love is meekness. Love is restoration. That's what it is. If someone is caught in a sin, he didn't say everybody that sins restore. That means we restore one another every time. He says someone is caught in a public sin. You now know about it. He says you restore the person. Restore in fellowship, not to God. Restore in fellowship. Then he says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love. Then he says, for if a man, any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 4, Galatians 6. Let every man prove his own work, and never be rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden, talking about love. Let him that is taught in the world communicate to him that is in all good things, that's kindness. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap of corruption, that is walking in the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting. That's walking in the Spirit. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So he begins to describe what is in love. Kindness, meekness is in love. Gentleness is in love. Long-suffering is in love. So the walking in the Spirit is to walk in love. Say, we'll be walking in the Spirit. It's to walk in love. Say it again, walking in the Spirit is walking in love. So when Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, says, I put away childish things. It means I put away things that are not of the love of God. Things that are not of the love of God. I put away things that are not of the love of God. What do you mean by things that are not in the love of God? How do I know? 1 Corinthians 13, let's go back there, verse 4. Love suffers long with others. It is patient. Impatience is a characteristic of a baby. You become impatient. It means you are childish. You are impatient with others. And one of the ways you know a baby is that children, infants, can get easily irritable. They're just impatient. Paul says, I put it away. Do you bear long with others? Can you be patient with people? As a pastor, can you be patient with people to grow? Can you bear with others? Watch this. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. Love. Paul says, I put this away. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. So, let's look at childish things. Childish things. Verse 4. Are you here? Are you here? Impatience. You are not stable. You can't hold on for long. You know, in the first service, we said continuity is the fruit of growth. You are impatient. You are too quick to talk. Whoop! You've spoken. That's a characteristic of a child. Then he says it's kind. It doesn't envy. So envy is childish. Right? Come on. Envy is childish. He says it doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It's not arrogant. You can be arrogant even as a preacher. You can be arrogant. Hallelujah. You can be arrogant. It's not puffed up. Praise the Lord. And you know, man can make you feel puffed up. Something must have blown you. You know, one day I had a meeting in Okota Road, Okota Way, Osola Way, sorry. And that day, someone who was blind saw. So I went back home. And back that day, there was a green 505. That was, they used as my official apostolic car. I felt really cool inside. You know, somehow, it was not the me that went for that meeting that came back. Have you ever done that kind of transition before? Please do. I discovered that I'd become a new man. And I knew it by the way I walked out of the meeting. You know, before you enter the meeting, you were praying. When you're not praying, you're now. Yeah. Such a blessing, you are a man of God. Don't say, bless you. You are just a man, blind eye. So, they dropped me, my friend, dropped me, and I came out of the car to still enter Federal Mass. You know Federal Mass? You know Federal Mass? Those long coastal buses with white and blue. I used to sit in front as a man of God. So I got home, and my father became very angry. And I was looking at him. And then he hit me. Say, where did you go? I looked at him like, I remember the look on my face. I could see the look. I will make you
blind now.
Sincerely, now I'm not joking. That was on my heart.
Do you know who is me? That's childish.
Childish. I was talking to a preacher. And I told him, I said, a friend of yours has, I think this is a friend of yours, he said, I discovered you people have a fallout. Can I just, because I can never relate with two people who don't talk to each other. Go check my record. I will never relate with two people together who don't talk to each other. Never. I will ensure they both talk to each other and reconcile. I have never, ever had that kind of attitude. I won't do it. And that's why some preachers really don't like my face. Because we cannot be gisting. My own is the word of God. Doctrine. Or Arsenal. Not Chelsea or Barcelona. I'll leave you for this service. I'll spare you. You know? So, you know, I don't do it. I just don't find a reason. So I told the fellow, I said, two of you don't seem to. He said, I don't have this time. He's a preacher. No, I'm not talking something that happened 2 years ago. It happened this year, last month. He said, I have 6 churches. He has just one. And I shook my head. That is a baby on the pulpit. A baby. 6 churches. That's what he said. So I have, he has just one. Wow. So I said, sorry, you're archbishop. That's a child. That's a child. And a child cannot raise adults. Nobody in his church is growing. That's the truth. A child can't raise adults. So, he says, love is not arrogant. I mean, let's even put aside the work of the ministry. Let's assume in your office, they just promoted you from clerk to general manager. You know, this is happening in Nigeria. Those are our testimonies. From the back side to the front side, you know. Oh, glory. Come on, preach me happy, man. So, then you change to the security staff. You change to others. I remember one day, this is my father, and it's been 10 years now, so I can talk about him. He was, he and my mom had an argument. And they were talking about stuff, and then maybe my mom asked him to help her, and then stuff like that. And because, you know, some women, not all women, she said, the things she did for him when he was just a teacher. You know, when you're a teacher in the 70s, you just have your reward somewhere that is not in this earth. And then she said, this one. Then he screamed loud. He said, now he was then a general manager in the bank. So he said, what did you give? I'll write one check and I'll give you back. And I said to him, I said, that's wrong, sir. He said, yeah. Should have written that check then. It's not now that you should write that check. Then, you should have written that check. If you couldn't write that check then, you can't write it now. Because kindness is immeasurable. You needed it that day. It was given to you. And I said, again, Daddy, you are proud. You are proud. What do you have that you were not given? You are proud. The interesting part was, not long after that conversation, a few years after, they retired him. And both of them were staying together, seeing their faces every day. She was still going to work. He was at home. Human beings hardly know you don't know tomorrow. Always get into your thick skull. You see, you cannot know. You don't even know the next 1 hour. So behave yourself. I'm talking about my own father. That was what Paul told them in Corinth. He said, look, it is your turn today to help them. He said, the tables are going to change. It will change. So it will, he said, there will now be equality. Those that you helped will not help you. Why should you be arrogant? Arrogance means you don't have a depth of thinking. I don't know how to say it in English. You cannot think well. You can't. It says love, the love of God doesn't. So when you see arrogance because of position, miracles, or knowledge of the world. Knowledge of the, when I was a younger preacher, if I come upon your soul with preaching, I know that time I just learned Greek. The thing was Greeking out of my mouth, and Hebrew. Me and a friend of mine, we call him Apostolos de Shalom, or Apostolos the Greek. We'll be writing letters in Greek. I'm telling you, letters. We'll talk in Greek. If we want to dazzle those around us, we'll just say, Antilepsis, Kalil, Adelpho. Help me call that brother. You say, till I go on, let me leave it. And you have to look at, sit down, see what? Yeah. I mean, you could see pride. Some say spiritual pride. Every pride is spiritual. Pride. And because of that, I now used to Jericho my hair. Some of you cannot believe it. I'll look for some pictures and show you. There were two rings and chain like this. Do you know why I was doing it? So that you can come and question me. Then I'll now teach you the word. I'll say, you say, the Bible says, I'll say, read the next verse. See what? Oh, Lord! Arrogance! There was a meeting we went for. And we asked the guy, which of the miracles do you want? Four, my friend. No, I'm not looking. We said, okay, he will do revelation gifts, he will do utterance, he will do power, I will teach. I will display the power of God. I will not be good. The apostles. We called ourselves the College of Bishops. You want to hear more? We had an apostle. We had a bishop. Then we had a pope. We say, a popeless man is a hopeless man. Without a pope, you cannot cope, you are on dope. Want me to continue? They used to call me the good shepherd or senior shepherd. We are the evangelists. And when we are walking, when we go for any meeting, we have this attire. It's like this Ashoke. We now put it around our necks, black suits. Just for you to notice us that you want us to talk word, let's talk word. Arrogance. What is that for? And there were gifts of the Spirit. We could be quoting scriptures and we were babies. When I was a child, I put away childish things. It's childish. When you begin to act what you own, that you were given, and use it to flaunt against others, including the gifts of the Spirit, you are a baby. Money. You are a baby. A house. You are a baby. Watch this. Love does not behave itself unseemly. When you begin to behave yourself unseemly, you begin to seek your own. It's all about you. Infants are self-centered. I want. What else? is not easily provoked.
Are you irritable? You just get irritated. Say, you should know my nature. I can't take nothing. You should know my nature. You know your nature is the flesh. You know my nature. You can know my nature, and in your office they know you. Ah! Say that brother or that sister, she's a Jim Christian, no? But she does not take nonsense. Nonsense, what do you mean? Anything like that. Ah! She will shout back at you. Ah! Christian. Christian. Easily provoked. Anything like that, you're played up. Don't use those hands to play with me. Don't play with me. Don't play that kind of thing. Play with me. Easy. I said, don't do it. That's money flesh. No, he says, he doesn't seek our own. He thinks no evil of others. Hallelujah. You don't believe the worst about people. He says, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. I said it. I said it. Said what? What has just happened? I said it. my God. There was a Christian who was in this church that said this. I was shocked. I saw one of my pastors. He said, Kama. I said, after all the series I've been teaching you, how what? Says Kama. He's Kama. Somewhere in his mind, he believes in it. Some people still believe that if you wound them, something will happen to you. You have it somewhere in your heart. They won't preach it though. Because if you preach it, you will say it's not the Bible. But in their heart, they say, What is it? Nothing. I have a father who has never fumbled. He says he doesn't rejoice in iniquity. He rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Praise God. Say, I'm just like Jesus. I'm not irritable. I don't get easily hurt. Check your relationship with your home. In your home. You can act like that in the service. And somebody steps on your feet in the church. Your foot. You just say, bless you. In the church, bless you. If I knew a brother like that, if you step on him, he will say, sorry. He is the one that will tell you sorry. That is serious holiness. And you act like that because you are in church. But as soon as you enter your car, you are going home. Your children are the first recipients of the glory that is upon you. Your wife is laughing at everybody. Bless you. Good day. See you on Monday for a book of Isaiah. As soon as she enters the car, she starts smiling. So, are you done? Let's go. Everybody's quiet in the car. Your children cannot make a joke. You even make a joke and they don't laugh. Why are you not laughing? Daddy. Daddy. Because you are easily provoked. Love believes all things. See, I believe the best of others. Brother Hagin used to say that you can put love in this world. It believes the best of others. It doesn't believe the worst. I believe the best. Praise God. It hopes all things. It endures all things. So when
Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Childish things. Things that children do. Children get easily hurt. Spiritually speaking, yes. Easily hurt. Sometimes we think people are the cause. No. You should deal with anger. I tell people oftentimes, anger is one of the major works of the flesh. Anger. Anger will make you say things. If you realize that there are things, and some of you will write on Facebook and social media, hear this. Don't write things you may have to apologize for later. Don't say things to people that you will have to say sorry. Watch the way you use your words. When you are in anger, I've taught you, don't speak. Deal with the anger first. I'm not saying that people will not do you wrong and then you judge what they have said. But don't respond in anger. Deal with the anger first. And that's why Paul said that to the father. He said, you cannot correct your children in anger. In anger. Correct your kids. If it's in Africa, for people minister by fivefold ministries. Or the tree of life. Or knowledge of good and evil. It depends. But you see, either way, don't use anger. The Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Learn to be slow in your reactions. It doesn't mean you shouldn't rebuke wrong or acknowledge when people do you wrong. But if you put anger to it, then you have sinned. Deal with the anger. If you're a husband or a wife or in a relationship or you're in a friendship or in a business. And you see, listen. Anger is of the devil. Paul says, do not sin. Ephesians 4:26. Do not be angry. King James says, be angry and sin not. It's a syntax misplaced. It's be not angry and sin. Don't sin. Then the next verse, give no place to the devil. That was the first time he would introduce the devil in the conduct there. And he related it to anger. Put away childish things. As a pastor, don't handle your church members with anger. Even as a church member too, don't respond in anger. The moment you sense the anger, Paul says, put it away. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? How do you put it away? Walk away. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And say, I am not giving to anger. I yield to correction. I yield to correction. I walk in the Spirit. I'm born of God. I don't walk in the flesh. First of all, before you talk back to the person, talk to yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? Before you respond to your husband, to your wife, or to your kids, or to your parents, or to your pastor, or to your sheep, talk to yourself first. No, I don't yield to the flesh. I'm not giving to impulsive speaking. I don't talk anyhow. You will have said that long enough. What's your response? Or response? You just say to your husband, your wife, or your pastor, but I really was uncomfortable with what you said. I just felt somehow. You know why you're saying it that way? Because you have spoken to yourself first. The first person to talk to when someone seeks to annoy you is yourself. Talk to yourself first. Or else, you might be surprised that you are the one that will sin. The other person has not sinned. Sometimes people do things unknowingly. So, put away childish things. Childish things. Put it away. And if you're involved in the work of a ministry, particularly, and raising people, you have to learn to deal with anger. You can destroy things with anger that you'll not be able to put together again. Words, actions. You know, being quiet is not a thing. You hear what I'm saying? Being quiet or keeping quiet is not a sin. Many times it's righteousness. Jesus, you know why they couldn't find any sin in his mouth? Because he kept quiet most of the time. He just kept quiet. Learn to put away childish things. Don't because you just finished praying in the Holy Ghost for 10 hours, or you came from WCC, 36 hours prayer, or one day prayer, 6 days prayer. That is the liberty to start talking anyhow. That's pride. You check yourself. How am I responding? Hallelujah. You put away that. Put away getting easily hurt. Easily hurt. You see, I've told you, the love of God is the wisdom of God in human relationships. You must learn to tolerate. When you see relationships that last for long, marriages, ministries, it's because they tolerate one another. That includes the church. Nobody thinks that any, let me say, when you see people sometimes act like their pastors are perfect, it's not that they don't know that they are not perfect. They have just chosen to see them that way. And that's how those churches last. It's not deception. Hallelujah. It's not deception. Some people say, I like to say things the way they are. That's how you are, like the way you are. I like to say my mind at all times. No. Don't say your mind. Say the right thing. Don't say your mind. Say what is right. Say what you should say. Look at the word of God. Say what you should say. When you see relationships that grow, friendships, marriages, it's not because the two persons always do the right things all the time. They just believe the best about each other and tolerate each other. That's all. That's all. That's all. And you know, if you want people to change, I've observed this in pastoring, and also I learned it from Kenneth Hagin as well. Of course, it's in the Word of God. Surround people with faith and love. Faith means that you will believe in them. Even when they are falling. In your home, in your church, in your ministry. Not all the time. Because you people are not going to pray. You cannot even pray. You cannot do that. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. They will never be able to. You people cannot. Can you ever? Can you ever? Will you ever? Shall you ever? May you never? No. That's like a woman goes home, a husband, always complaining about the wife and the husband. I suppose they begin to fight on the, you too, you too, you too, you too. No, it doesn't work like that. You've just chosen to tolerate each other and walk in love. So, a child is easily hurt. Also, a spiritual infant is inconsistent and undependable. Inconsistent and undependable. Inconsistent. One of the proofs of a spiritual infanthood is inconsistency. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul In fact, let's start from 4 verse 19 first. It says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. The word travail, Galatians 4:19, is the word odino. It means to labor with pain. It's from the word odin. Now, interestingly, he uses that word in Galatians 2:27, like the way a woman brings forth a child. Galatians 4:27. It's taken from the Greek word odin. It means to wail, to be in agony. It's used in Matthew 24 verse 8, write it down, and Mark 13, 8. Matthew 24 verse 8 and Mark 13, 8. It's used for the pains of Jesus in his death. Acts 2, 24. It means pain. So, Paul's lament here is painful. I travail at birth again till Christ be formed in you. It's a grief of a parent, a pastor, when he has to do it all over again. Say, my little children, why? Why does he call them little children? Because in chapter 1, he said, you are so soon, verse 6, removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ, to another gospel. Inconsistency. Inconsistency. They will jump from here to here. Children. And you know that about kids, you know. If you put a child, a baby in one place, and you walk away, before you come back, it has gone around exploring things. It's like that spiritually. You're poof, 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 so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It's not growth. To be jumping from place to place. It's not growth. It is babyhood stage. Someone told me one time, said, have you heard about this preacher? I said, I don't have to hear about every preacher. I don't have to. The ones I'm hearing, have I finished hearing them? Curiosity is what belongs to a child. Curious. Daddy, who is that person? Daddy, who is he? Daddy, what? Curiosity. I said, no, I've not been listening to the ones I have. So, a child is moved to and fro. Ephesians 4:14. You know, we said that the proof of growth is consistency. You are on the same spot. Learning the same truth. It says, not verse 14, that we, let's read verse 14 together, Ephesians 4:14, let's go. Everybody? I'll wait for you, that's not everybody. Ephesians 4:14, let's go. Hold on. So that's instability. The word wind of doctrine or tossed with to and fro with every wind of doctrine, that word there, it's the same word James used in James 1:6. It's found in Luke 8:24. It's from the word cludon. It's cludon, mizomai, really, but it's cludon. That is, you are carried about with events. Carried about. Every new doctrine in the body of Christ. You know some people? They're latching on grace at a point. Grace is grace. Grace to reign. Grace to shine. Grace to sow. Grace to reap. You know, they're just carried away. Carried away. Some preachers are like that. If you check them 2-3 years after, they have changed. They have changed. So he says here, carried about, which is instability. A baby is unstable. Another thing about a baby is that a child is easily distracted and easily captivated. Easily distracted. Have you tried that with kids before? You want them to leave something, then you play music and they turn around. and they go towards the music. Kids are easily distracted. That's what Paul is saying here. Easily captivated. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, the same people. We call them little children. Said they are so soon removed. We now call them foolish. Who has bewitched you? The word bewitched means to captivate you, to keep you in awe. Who has enticed you? Kids are like that. Easily distracted. They like to be enticed. So kids are just like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says that, are you not carnal? 1 Corinthians 3, were there earlier? And walk as mere men? And walk as mere men? Then he says in 4, while one said, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? So, one of the traits of a baby Christian is he likes sects. What you can call party spirit. Factions. He likes factions. Like I said earlier, children can easily be distracted and they can be so enticed. Paul said, I brought the gospel to you, Corinth. In chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, I am your father. I birthed you with the gospel. Follow me. But no, children like a new thing. Let's have a new thing. Let's have a new thing. Remember, in my primary school, we were taken to, there was a day like that. My father came to take us from school, University of Staff School. So we went to the staff quarters. He had a friend there who later became the registrar. And then we go to the president's house in the afternoon of Saturday, or maybe Tuesday. Jollof rice, chicken, and fried plantain. Hi! I think they gave us maybe Pepsi or something. They were not expecting us to come, so it was their normal way of eating. I felt like not leaving that house. The next day, I didn't wait for the driver to come and pick us. I went to that house. I didn't care if after my rice, they would use me for money rituals. My own was that rice. Because our own fried rice in our family was Sunday afternoon. And because we used to attend the Aladura church, we would have been tired. We finished like 4 o'clock. So usually, me and my cousins would go home to go and watch Sunday Martini. You know Sunday Martini? Oh. Then we used to watch, by 5 o'clock, they would show wrestling. Leo Mascaras, Mighty Eagle. Okay, sorry. Argentina, Apollo. You know. So you have been tired, and then the rice will come. So the rice was like, the reward of faithfulness throughout the service. Somebody now gives me the same thing. Tuesday. Afternoon. Let your God be my God. The God that gives me your love, right? He will be my God. And that was it. So I wanted to stay there. So I just stayed there. And they were wondering, why did I just come to their house? Interestingly, they now start beans. So my father came in the evening. The funny part was that I had gone to sleep thinking I'll start staying here. And then he came in the evening. He just smiled. He took me in the car. If you're an African parent, you know the rest. Hey, the chastisement of my peace was upon me by my stripe. I was healed. My own sight.
My mother now told me a story. I'll never forget that story. I know when my mother is, after she has finished beating you. Can I use you as an example? Are you sure? Sit down. She's not beating you again. You are already tired. You have been flushed. She now holds your nose. She's not beating you. You are telling me. What have I done for you? But as a child, that just captivated. I was a time like that. Me and some folks, we traveled to America some years ago. And we had the reason to go to different churches. I think I must mention it in this series. We went to those churches. And then I just noticed that before they took us to the auditorium, we see basketball, baseball, ball, tennis, disco. What's disco? Disco. Bar. So I was asking, what is all this for? You know, sometimes people don't want to come to church, so we think that if we can offer to them what the world does, and then they can do those kind of things here, and as they do it, we just tell them about Jesus. Comedian. And so we went to like 8 in different states. I think that time we must have gone to over 10 states in America. Now, if you're in the US, you know what 10 states mean. America is not like you take bus and or daughter, you are going to the state. Sometimes in one state, you travel 10, 12 hours. So we're going from state to state. And we're seeing those lovely things. They say, you know, they even have a room. Those ones are nice anyway. They call it crying room. When a child is crying, they take the paper and they're going to be crying. You cry. That's the way to cry. So, as we're looking at those things, they say, you know, our services are very short. You just make sure that this service is called so and so. And they were saying that. So some brethren say, Nigeria people. This is what we have been saying to the people in Nigeria. Church must be lively. When I get home, I will tell my father, shut up, what is the meaning of that? What is this one? This is nonsense. Why would I come to church for music? There's better music outside church. You don't agree? Why are you lying? Don't deceive yourself. I said, the church is where you come to hear the word of God. If you need a church to be comfortable before you attend, you are not comfortable. Spiritually. You want the church to have the kind of seats that when you put your right leg, you say, sit down at my right hand, you make all your enemies of Usu, and your left hand, and do like this. That's true. That's not why you should be in a church. If you are still attracted by things like that, you are a nepios. You are a baby. They will carry you away. Babies are easily distracted. Easily captivated. Babies follow camps. Camps. I am a Paul. That means a spiritual infant lacks recognition. In your church, you should know who the pastor is. The pastor is not the invited minister. You should know who the pastor is. The pastor is not the guy that brought you to church. But babies don't recognize that. They don't. I am up. That's how babies think. Spiritual infant. Those who cause strife in the churches are infants. Paul says, follow me. 4 Corinthians 4:15-16. So to know a spiritual infant, he likes factions. Factions. There are people who will still meet after a service. I think Pastor must have discussed, Pastor Beckley must have told Pastor about that thing. Why do you think so? See how we preach now. Do you see the example of me? You must have been told. That's why that example, I know, sometimes though, Pastor is preaching, some people just look at themselves. At the different colors of the church. In fact, this day you don't have to look, just your phone, just text the person. Do you think so? I'm not sure. Let's keep listening. Let's see whether it's the same thing he's talking about.
Action. I am of this. That's why I kind of get uncomfortable when churches have businessmen fellowship. Businessmen. In the house of God. You see, this is the level. I know churches that they grade people that way. No. They are creating division in the house of God. We don't class people according to their material possessions in the house of God. No. We don't class people according to those kind of things. There are some, the reason why they relate to some people in the church is because they are all mothers. Or they are married. So, she used to work with single sisters in the church. She's now married, then she gets to look for sheep of her sheepfold. That's a carnal person. That's a carnal person. Say, mother's unit. What's that for? In the house of God? No. Widow's department. Widower's fellowship. No. Hallelujah. We don't classify people based on their circumstance or situational status or material possession. There are people in the house of God that relate to people because they think they have money. We have not started Saints Community Church then, I think 2005 or 4. Some people were relating with each other based on what they assumed they had. And I got to know. They said, not everybody is so and so person. This person, he was born in America. He grew in America. Grew up in America. The parents are wealthy. And so they started to relate that way. I called them. I said, are you well? In the house of God. If the church does that, where is the hope in the world? Are you following what I'm saying? If you greet people properly because they have money, and you look down on that security man at the gates, something is wrong with your Christianity. Something is wrong. You are yet to grow. So babies like party spirit. I am of this person. I am of that. And oftentimes, they get destroyed that way, in the sense of get scattered. What other things do babies do? Evil speaking. Evil speaking. Evil speaking means to say something, to judge someone behind the person. To say something to judge the fellow behind him. When you mature, you begin to use words to build up. You use words to build up. You are consistent. You are consistent. You watch the way you use your words and how you use it. Write this down. Your words are your most important tools for God to others. Your words are your most important tools for God, for others. Watch how you use it. As you grow, what are the things you are going to watch are the uses, the way you use your words? And let me say this,
Don't speak in anger. I've said that to you before. I've seen the result in people's lives. I shared with us at the workers' convention. I hope you remember it very well. Go back and listen again. Watch the way you use your words. I'm very strong about doctrinal precision. I'm very strong. But watch how I say it. I do. Watch how you talk. Don't allow the flesh to use your word. James says, if you can bridle your tongue, that's your word. You will bridle your entire life. Check how you talk. Don't be a good preacher on the pulpit and a bad speaker at home. Don't be a good preacher in church, but towards your husband and wife is something else. And your children. And your boss at work. And in your office. When they come and talk the Bible, you now begin to quote context, pretext, and you are pretending. Check your words. How do you use them? We have to learn to grow. Also, children are impressionable. They are impressionable. They want to copy. They are impressionable, which is not wrong, as long as the right examples are copied. It's not wrong. I learned to preach as a young child, younger Christian. I learned it. You get impressionable. But as you grow, you start to think. Think and check your conduct. Check it. Is it in line with the word? We'll see all that next week about this particular aspect. So children are impressionable. The next big thing. Paul! I told someone, the guy came to me and said, sir, he's a preacher. He said, I want to hear the word. I said, okay, you know what? Go on the Living Word Media. He doesn't live in Lagos, so he's far away. He's a preacher. Then I saw him again in other places. I said, you know, I'm not saying this to you so that you will not listen to other people. He said, no. But you have not even exhausted the one here. Stay on this one. You are just active. Hyperactive. You are just hyperactive. And I said, you are not going to go. You are impressionable. At the end of the day, you will just be a journalist in the body of Christ. You know about teachings and people, but you are not growing. That's why the local church is very important. Very important. Where you can be fed continually on the same things. Sometimes your pastor is teaching on prayer. And then you just think, on my heart now, I want to hear about angels. No. Go and hear about prayer. Don't be up and down, up and down. No. Hear about prayer. When it is time, you'll hear about angels. Praise the Lord. Because a pastor is not trying to attract you. You know, Paul said about those folks in Galatia, he said, they are zealous about you. They look like they care for you. He said, but it is not good for you. Look at the Galatians 4. Are you there? Galatians 4. I knew a preacher like that. He will come and visit you. He will go to people's churches where he's invited. He will go there. And he will return to the city without telling the pastor. And he will bring food to the church member. I'm telling you. And you say, hey! People first of all want to care that you know before they know. They want to know that you care before they care what you know. you are in trouble. Who doesn't do that to a prey? Anybody wants to catch a prey will first care for it. Is that not true? Why are you looking at me like that? If you catch a fish, you put what he likes, and that's the end for the fish. How do you catch a rabbit? Just put gum there. I mean, rat, put gum there. You have to put meat. But these days, they are now very high tech. They will remove the meat for you and they move on. They will move on. No weapon from the gates. Galatians 4. After he said, my little children, look at verse 17. Verse 16. Let's take verse 16 together. Let's go. Your enemy, because I tell you the truth. Verse 17. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they will exclude you that they might affect you. It is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. So he's saying that they will come and affect you, but it's not good. They will treat you well. Children can be carried away by things like that. I like that church. By Monday morning, they called me. They sent me prayer points. In fact, by the Tuesday, they got us jobs, all of us newcomers. That is church. That is church. Have they taught you the word of God? The word of God is in human practice. It's not your opening Bible every time. That is church. Too bad. What else? Children love positions. Children like to drive a car without buying it. Is that not true? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll close on that. If you love positions and not responsibilities and sacrifice, you are still a baby. Without sacrifice. You want to quickly become something. I told you in the morning, the moment you want to become something with the gospel, you can never teach the truth again. There are many things I do today in the body of Christ. Some of our pastors know some of them. A number that you may never get to hear. And I told the people, don't mention my name. There are many. I mean, many. I even spoke to one. I said, don't put this on the social media. I just told him. It's not about position. I left a church of how many folks? Several hundred, 20 years ago, to go back to a ministry that were less than 20. So you must, what was the Lord doing for me then? He was training me to grow up. You need to learn to grow up. Children love positions. When you grow up, you love service. Service. 1 Timothy 3:6, Paul told Timothy, do not put a child, a novice. He says, not a novice, being lifted up with pride. The word novice is the word neophutos. Neophutos, N-E-O-P-H-U-T-O-S. It's used for planting. It means a newly planted plant or something. Newly planted. It also means that, because the word fool, where you get it from, is the word soil. Or something that comes out of the soil. You see it in Luke 8, 6 and 8 and Hebrews 12, 5. Luke 8, 6 and 8, Hebrews 12, 5. So, as a pastor, as a Christian leader, don't put people in positions if they have just joined the church. And if you have just joined the church, you don't want position. Some guys didn't stay in this church because they saw that the process was a bit long. They just left. Somebody told them. He said, that your church is just too... It's not our fault. It's apostolic instruction.
Peter and the apostle said, look among you, men of honest report, that we have known you over time. A child, a novice, spiritual infant. He says he will be lifted up with arrogance and pride. Just like the third soil, pride. He will fall into the condemnation of the devil. He will fall into pride. Remember the third soil? Pride. Deceitfulness of riches. Pleasures of life. Sometimes when we go on trips and I take some of our members together, and sometimes some of my friends who are preachers, I use that opportunity to teach some of these things. And I tell them, see, what people are doing to us, and they're welcoming us, thanking us, providing for us, it's a privilege. We should be grateful. We should never allow it get to our heads. We must remain a servant. Growth means that those things don't affect how you talk and how you relate. They don't. Put away childish things. Childish things. Anger is childish. Are you still there? Arrogance is childish. Loving positions and not responsibilities is childish. Creating factions in the local church amongst people is childish. Being easily captivated by new things is childish. Some people are saying the Bible, the word, because they think it's raining. But check those who are teaching that before it became a vogue. Because one day it will no longer be in vogue. But those who are truthful will abide in it. In season, out of season. Years ago, about 20-something years ago, I swore before the church. I said, let woe betide me, my seed, my generation forever, if I twist the gospel for any reasons. So let me be cursed, not me, myself alone, my seed. I will never say anything that Christ hasn't said, but has not done. I said it in different places. In fact, one of my friends reminded me that you said it in Ogbomosho in 1995. I said I did. School of Campus Ministry. I said it. I said never. I said, let me be cursed. And my generation. I said, I'll never. We learn to grow. Grow up. Don't like factions. Don't like camps. Recognize leadership in the church. Praise God. Follow leadership. Hallelujah. Don't be easily captivated. Don't say, why are we not doing this in Saints Community Church? Doing what? There are some things people are doing these days. These days. But we'll do the word. Hallelujah. We're growing up. And we're bearing fruit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we're producing ministry. Because true love serves others. If all you do is come on Sundays, you are a baby. Let me say it clearly for you to hear it well. If all you do is come on Sundays, you are a baby. Where were you on Monday? Were you available to pray for others? No. Were you available to reach out to others? To check on some new converts? Were you there? To give, to be available in time, to hear the word, to teach others? Then you are a baby. You have only come on Sunday because that's when it's convenient for you. But when you start to grow, you grow in inconvenience. You start to grow in conviction. We bless this afternoon. Let's stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands. We'll continue next week and give Him praise and all.